As I'm sure you've probably figured out by now from the Cheryl's wonderful prelude and from Jeff's rendition of the scripture, we are talking about Joseph today, which is a very long portion of scripture, even longer than Ruth was. So today we're going to be reading the beginning of the story of Joseph and the end of the story of Joseph. Listen now to this reading from the book of Genesis. Listen for God's word to you in the reading. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to you and bring you up out of this land, the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." So Joseph made the Israelites swear, saying, "When God comes to you, you shall carry up my bones from here." And Joseph died, being 110 years old. He was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Now, if that's not enough to get you back here on June 22nd, I don't know. Yeah. I want to thank Jeff for his rendition of the scriptures. I think it's a perfect example of how we can get into some of these Bible stories and get all twisted and confused and conflicted. And it's the beautiful thing about looking at some of these Bible stories from a fresh perspective. I do want to start out by saying, keep those cards and letters coming. Keep putting them in the basket. We've gotten over 25, and some of them are broad, like this morning's and last week's. Some of them we've gotten are quite specific. They've actually given us the verses. So keep them coming. We're going to try to do as many as we can. And it's also fun and interesting for us as well, because rarely are we looking at broad stories like we are doing here with some of them, especially last week as Kathy did Ruth, because that's all the card said was Ruth. And I think there were three of them. Today's we got a couple of cards. All it says is Joseph, or Joseph and his brothers. So we're going to get the whole story, okay? We're trying to pull this together. You got the beginning of the story, and you got the ending of the story. Now, as we're looking at these stories, I hope you caught that first line. This is a story about the family of Jacob. Now, does anybody remember what Jacob's God-given name was? Israel. This is the story of the family of Israel, is the way the story of Joseph starts off. It's a family story. We've all got family stories, right? Right? Yeah. And when we tell our family stories, we have to go back into those stories and the ones that we actually know, because we have to admit, even in our own families, there are stories we don't know. You get together with a group of family at a family reunion around a holiday table, and inevitably there's somebody says, "Well, I never knew that." Or, "Well, I experienced it a different way." And we tell these stories selectively. We mostly try to tell the good parts and leave other things untold. One of the beautiful things about Bible stories is that they are so open. They tell us the good things and they tell us the bad things. And we in the church do have a tendency to look at the good stories and even the bad parts of them, we give them a little twist. And this story of the family of Jacob is absolutely amazing. I'm going to tell you right now, sometime this week, go to the book of Genesis and read from chapter 37 to the end, to chapter 50. And you will discover things you never knew. Don't just sit here and say, "Oh, I know the story of Joseph." You don't. You know some of the stories within the story of Joseph because it has some of the most wonderful children's Bible stories that we all learned in Sunday school. The coat of many colors, which is actually a long robe with sleeves. I don't know where the coat of many colors comes from. It actually came from a Greek translation. The Hebrew says he was given a long robe with sleeves. But we have a coat of many colors. We've turned this earthy story into a fairy tale. When in actuality, this is a story about a family with all its glory and with all its dirt. And it starts off with jealousy, and it starts off with brothers wanting to kill their brother. It starts off with them selling their brother into slavery. All because he was the favorite. Now I want to give you a broad sweep of this story. Last week, Kathy talked about the book of Ruth, and the book of Ruth and the story of Ruth being a story of migration and immigration. This is the same story. It's a story of migration and immigration. It's a story of peoples being moved because of the circumstances of their lives. And in the long run, the reason we have the story of Joseph in our canon is because it is the story of how the Israelites got to Egypt. Because if you don't have that story, you don't have the story of the Exodus. And if you don't have the story of the Exodus, you don't have a Bible. It's the story of how the people of Israel, the family of Jacob, ended up in Egypt. But along the way, many things happen in this family. And these are not stories to emulate. See, we make a mistake with our Bible stories, I think. So often we say, oh, these are stories with a lesson on how we are to live. When in actuality, they're stories telling us who we are. And they're telling us that we are the people of Israel. We are the Egyptians. We are the Moabites. We are the Midianites in these stories. Our stories have all of these elements. I could tell my own family story, and I could tell you that one of my uncles was a highly decorated World War II pilot. But I also have to tell you that he was a tortured alcoholic. I can tell you that my oldest sister, whom I adored, was actually a distant cousin born out of wedlock. The story kept secret for years. You see, we tell our stories, but we have to realize that there are other parts to our stories. And this story of Jacob, let me just run through a few of these, okay? We've already mentioned that he's sold by his brothers. His brothers hate him so much, they sell him. Then they lie to their father that he was killed by a wild animal. Then in chapter 38, there's a story that just doesn't seem to fit. It's a story about the oldest son, Judah, going off and starting his own family. And the next thing you know, his son dies, and he has a daughter-in-law who's a widow. And he can't get his one son to marry her. And so he sends her to live with her father, to live as a widow with her father. Her name is Tamar. Tamar decides that she doesn't want to live as a widow, and that she thinks Judah's family actually owes her an inheritance. So Tamar dresses up with a mask and goes and finds Judah and seduces him. And her own father-in-law has sexual relations with her, and she becomes pregnant. But then when everybody in the village says, Tamar has played the prostitute, let's kill her, she says, wait a minute. I have a signet ring here. I have a staff. It belongs to the father of my child. And she confronts Judah. And Judah brings her in. It has echoes of who among you without sin will cast the first stone, doesn't it? So Tamar has a child. The child's name is Perez. Kathy mentioned the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Luke. Go read those genealogies. Guess whose name you're going to find? Perez. And one of them, Matthew's, you'll find Tamar, bold enough to mention the woman. So you see this, even this one chapter that doesn't seem to fit in the story is telling us an important story. And then we get back to the story of Joseph. Oh, the sordid tale of Joseph and Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. How Joseph is manipulated and tricked. And the next thing you know, he ends up in prison. And he's in prison, and the jailer gives him special treatment. Everywhere Joseph goes, he gets special treatment. The jailer gives him special treatment. And even when Pharaoh gets mad at his cupbearer and his baker, he puts them in prison. Joseph is told to take care of them. And these are some of the stories we know. He interprets their dreams. They're amazed. Of course, the poor baker doesn't come out as well as the cupbearer. But word gets back to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh's having dreams too. And the cupbearer remembers, oh, there was this guy in prison who interpreted my dream. The next thing you know, Joseph is interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. And we have those stories about 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty. We all know those stories. And before you know it, guess what? Joseph gets treated special again. He becomes the de facto Pharaoh. He is given rule over all of Egypt. And the dreams come true. There's a great famine. And his family has to come and get food, along with everybody else in the region, by the way. And this is part of the story that we rarely, rarely ever tell. Joseph manipulates the entire economy of that area to enslave everyone that lives there. It's there. Read the story. He slowly makes everyone so dependent on him, on Egypt, that when it's all over, the entire area, Egyptians included, the story tells us, are enslaved economically and totally dependent. Joseph uses the disadvantage of others in order to control them and enslave them. These are economic dynamics, by the way, that have gone on in the world since and are going on in the world today. Economic power is used to intentionally make others dependent and enslave them. We call it creating markets. We call it supply and demand. We've got fancy names for these economic dynamics, but in the end, it's usually the dominant power trying to make lesser people dependent and enslaved. And this is the dynamic that goes on as Joseph benevolently makes sure that everyone has something to eat. But his brothers come, and there's more deception in the story of his brothers coming. He doesn't tell them who he is, even though he knows who they are. He hides money in their bags. He demands that Benjamin be brought. He puts the cup in Benjamin's bag. There's all kinds of deception going on here and manipulation in order to get these brothers to the place where he can finally say, "It is I, Joseph." It's not written in there anywhere, but you can nearly see, "I told you so." But he says that famous line, "What you intended for bad, God used for good." It's definitely good for Joseph. And it's good for the people of Israel, because the people of Israel are not enslaved like everyone else. They are given an area of land called Goshen because they are shepherds. And Joseph tells them, when you see Pharaoh, you tell Pharaoh that you are shepherds. Because Egyptians could not stand shepherds. Shepherds were the migrant workers. Shepherds were the ones who did the work that nobody else wanted to do. You tell them you're shepherds because he can't do without shepherds. His own comforts and his own economy will fail without the shepherds. And so they said, we're shepherds. And Pharaoh said, oh, good, you can take care of all my sheep. I'm going to give you Goshen. You take care of the sheep and you can take care of Goshen. And so Israel was given this sort of bubble of security because they were the immigrants willing to do the work that nobody else would do. And it is in Goshen that they prosper and multiply. Let me read you some verses here from the very first chapter of Exodus, which is the continuation of this story. The very first chapter of Exodus says, these are the names of the son of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob, each with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, the tribes of Israel. The total number of people born to Jacob was 70. Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers and that whole generation. But the Israelites were fruitful and prolific. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong so that the land was filled with them. And now here is where the story turns. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. So you see, this whole story is told to get us to that line. A new king arose who did not know Joseph. A king arose who did not know that the reason the Israelites were so prosperous and prolific is because Joseph was their benefactor. Because Joseph had saved them. Because Joseph had actually saved the entire economy of Egypt, and the Israelites were key to that being saved. But he did not know this. So you see, this line of Joseph's where he tells his brother, what was meant for bad, God used for good. But it's also true in reverse. What we mean for good oftentimes ends up bad. These Bible stories are a whole lot more complicated than we think. They're a whole lot more universal than we think. And they are definitely more relevant than we think. You've got some homework. Genesis 37 through 50, with a little peek at the first chapter of Exodus. Amen. You know, they're just stories, but they're our stories. These stories that come to us in our scriptures tell us who we are. They paint a true picture, and they call us to remember who we are. Have you noticed how often in our scriptures, in our liturgies, in our sacraments, we are called to remember, remember, remember? Because when we forget, that's when we get in trouble. When someone arises who knew not Joseph, who knew not Moses, who knew not Jesus, that's when we get in trouble. We get in trouble as a church. We get in trouble as individuals. We get in trouble as a nation in our own country when generations arise who do not remember Jefferson and Adams and Lincoln. We forget. And when we forget, we get in trouble. We get in trouble because we start oppressing other people. These stories are real. They're about us. They're our stories. And we'll be exploring some more of them throughout the summer. Amen.